Hello, everyone, and welcome to Introvert Talk Sunday, the place where we dive deep into topics that matter to introverts. I'm Michaela Chung, your transformational introvert coach, writer, and creator of Introvert Spring, a website that helps introverts quietly revolutionize the way they see themselves. And today, I'm very excited to be exploring the juicy topic of dating and seduction for introverted women. We have certified intimacy coach, author, and passionista, Stacey Murphy of theblissfullotus.com, joining us to share her wisdom on the fine art of attraction and man magnetism. Stacey specializes in seduction goddess training, attracting Mr. Right, and sex kitten mastery. Hello, Stacey.
Hi, how are you, Michaela?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm doing very juicy.
Good answer. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure everyone's really excited to hear what you have to say.
It's always a great topic of conversation. That's for sure.
It is. It's one of my favorite topics of conversation. So, first of all, I'm sure everybody's wondering, are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Surprisingly, I am an introvert. And that is something I discovered about myself, I would say several years ago, maybe almost a decade ago. And because when they see I'm talking about intimacy, I'm talking about seduction, I'm talking about, you know, erotic skills, and many people assume, because I teach a lot of workshops, that I'm an extrovert, and actually it's the other way around, you know, and so I'm definitely proof positive that you can step into your seductive and yummy essence and hold on to and be proud of, you know, your introvertedness, as I sometimes call it, because it can really be a positive attribute when it comes to seducing, which a lot of women don't know that.
Yes, and I was actually surprised to hear that you're an introvert as well, because your branding seems a stereotypical extroverted, because you're bold, you're sexy, you're out there. But you know what? Those aren't necessarily extroverted qualities. You can be bold and sexy and introverted, and I'm sure we're going to talk more about that, so I won't get into it too much, but happy to be talking with a fellow introvert about this topic, because, you know, it's great to hear that perspective of someone who gets the challenges of dating as an introverted woman and actually sees it as that it can be a strength.
Yes, and the biggest thing with those aspects and elements, and I know we're going to get into this a little bit more, but, you know, I had to also undergo my own personal development and my own personal worth issues in order to step into this aspect of myself. And one of the first things I had to do was to really accept that being introverted is not a bad thing. It actually can be a very big asset, and a lot of people have a misconception of what introvertedness is and even what an extrovert is. And I think a lot of us kind of pretend that one way is good and the other way is challenging, and neither is really the case, as you already know.
Yes, definitely. And let's talk a little bit more about that. A lot of introverted women do feel like they have to pretend to be extroverted to get a man because of all the stereotypes that, you know, extroverted women are more fun, they're sexier, maybe they think they're better in bed. So what's your take on this?
Well, first of all those qualities are not limited to extroverted women, that's for sure. But I think the biggest thing about that is, you know, if you're pretending is the very thing that will push away the very thing you want to attract to yourself, right? It will literally push away the desire that you want to have, because what's happening is two things will eventually happen. One is you will become exhausted, okay, trying to keep up with a facade that really isn't you. Right, and so that really puts strain on trying to really attract and be in a relationship. And many times when you have that frustrated or exhausted energy, you're really not going to attract a man. Okay, because what he's going to feel is he's going to feel that vibe that's coming out of you, and so it's going to be a repellent. And then the other thing is, you know, it will become very apparent to him at some point in time in the relationship that, you know, that really isn't you and that you were pretending, and then it will create mistrust, you know. And so whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, having a high degree of, you know, self-confidence and self-worth is the key element in attracting the man you want to bring into your life. Or even if you already have someone in sight, for them to come in a little bit closer, it's really, that is the jewel that is very attractive to men. It's that self-confidence. So it really doesn't matter about being an introvert or extrovert. It's just really knowing who you are, embracing that, and really not trying to hide it, okay? And I think that's one of the things that introverted women do is they try to say, okay, I need to change this, or I need to be this way, or I need to be that way to have this particular perception, and that is not being you. And then you end up being frustrated. You know what I mean? And so part of, I think, and I'll tell a little bit of my personal story, is when you can take an honest inventory of those aspects of your personality that you would like to shift, and if you can take appropriate action to do so, that is called personal growth, okay? And when you step into that, what happens is that is what helps you to be more self-confident. That is what helps you to have high self-worth, and that is a magnet of attraction to men. And so early on in my life, I was raised in New York City, very, you know, tough city to be raised in, so my parents were extremely overprotective, and I went to Catholic school growing up, and I always tell people, and I tell this all the time, I was afflicted with the good girl syndrome. Right? And the good girl syndrome is, you know, putting other people's needs before your own. If you follow these set of rules, then you should be happy. And if you follow this set of outline for you, you should get to the promised land and all this other stuff. And then many women find out, it's like, you know what? That doesn't work. It's not making me happy. And part of that is, you know, for me, growing up, I was really shy. I was very hesitant to, you know, approach a guy. I was very hesitant to look a guy in his eyes. You know, if a guy would look at me, I would kind of quickly turn my head, you know, and all this other stuff. And I would kind of sit back in the crowd. I was one of those people that was very comfortable being behind the scenes. Right? So, you know, which is sometimes people think is the typical introvert, you know, way of doing things. But I actually attribute that to really lack of self-confidence. Really. Yes. I mean, it had nothing to do with being introverted. And what I realized was I needed to be comfortable with who I was. I needed to be comfortable in my own skin. When I started to really love myself and just say, you know what, I'm a woman that needs to have my alone time. I'm a woman that, you know, I don't necessarily want to be in the center of attention, but I know my own worth, and I'm not going to be walked over. You know, in the beginning, I would let people, you know, kind of whisk with the wind with me. And it was all those things that was actually precipitated by a really, really, really bad relationship that really propelled me to love myself and who I was. And so those are the biggest things in terms of don't try to be something that you're not, because it's really transparent and it really won't attract to you what you're looking for, you know. So a lot of it is, you know, and then many women wonder, okay, then what are men looking for? You know, for what can an introverted woman do, you know, to attract, you know, a man? And so that's sometimes what a lot of women think about from there.
Yeah, definitely. And so something you said, I just want to explore a little bit more. You talk about how, earlier you said how shifting the parts of your personality that you want to change, that's how you start to grow. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that and being inauthentic and pretending?
Well, one of the things is when you know, like, for example, me being very shy and me being very hesitant, that had to do with lack of self-confidence because I was afraid of being judged. Okay? So when there is a fear that's behind what you're doing because you're afraid of being judged by other people, or you're afraid of making a mistake, you're afraid of being foolish. Part of that has to do with low self-confidence. So what I realized was I needed to step into that. And one of the things I was petrified to speak in front of other people. If I had to speak in front of other people, I would get ill. My stomach would start to churn. I would start to sweat. I would have to run to the bathroom, because a lot of it was fear of being judged and people just being on the spotlight. And I knew that one of the ways to get past that, I said, this is an irrational, it's an irrational fear. And the only way that I can get past this fear is by embracing it and stepping into it. So I, in some ways, forced myself by going to Toastmasters. I went into Toastmasters because I knew if I can get past this fear, it would open up many doors for me, not only from a relationship standpoint, but even a professional standpoint, you know, interpersonal skills standpoint, right? And so that's what I did. And the first opportunity that I had to really put it into action, I was speaking at, I was doing a testimonial for someone, and they gave me the microphone, and all of a sudden I can see myself turning green. And I said to myself, what have I got to lose? If someone thinks what I'm saying is not relevant, then so what? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one is judging me. The only person that really is judging me is me, you know? And so I just did it. And then I found out, oh, my gosh, I was just stressing out for nothing. And now I teach workshops. I do sorts of things in front of a lot of people. And so that was like a personal growth opportunity. So something like pretending would be, I like my alone time. I have always been a type of person where I can't be under another individual 24/7 because it drains me of my energy. So I like to have my decompression time is what I call it. What happens is pretending would be telling another person that, or ignoring that's what you need, that you need that downtime, ignoring that and pretending, oh, it's okay. You know, we can, and someone else monopolizing your time, or even pretending in a relationship that, okay, you always want to be with this person because you think that's what they want. And that's not necessarily the truth. You're not owning your own worth. So that is pretending. Pretending also would be, you know, you think you have to be loud and boisterous and all this other stuff to attract the attention of another person, and that really isn't you. You know what I mean? That really is not you. You know, there's the whole thing, speak softly, carry big stick, you know, kind of thing. And that's kind of the philosophy that I really exude personally. And so if that is what your personal credo is, but then in front of other people, you act differently because you think that's what they want, that's pretending. So that's the difference between not being yourself and then looking at, well, here's an opportunity for personal growth in my life.
Yeah, well said. And that actually just reminded me of a wonderful definition of confidence that I read the other day, and it was something to the effect of true confidence is caring more about what you think of yourself than what other people think of you.
Correct. Exactly.
So, yeah.
I always tell my clients.
And that is so true.
Yeah, I always tell my clients exactly with what you said. I always said to them, if you are so worried about what other people are thinking, they are controlling your life, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they kind of hear that, you know, depending on what the circumstances are, they kind of look at me and they go, wow, I don't want, and I say, do you want that other person controlling your life? You know, they have been. And then they literally sit and pause and think about it in that perspective. But that's what that is. And what I call it the good girl syndrome, it's everybody else's opinion. You make it more important than listening to your own inner voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So what tips do you have for introverted women who want to attract high-quality men while still honoring their true nature?
Well, like what I've been talking about already, the most important thing is to be yourself, but also to be authentic, right? They go hand in hand, being authentic, being genuine, because what happens is other people can feel that. Because when you come from this place of authenticity and genuineness, you will naturally attract a man that will honor your unique introverted personality. All right, this is, simply put, it's the law of attraction, and that's how it works. So when you honor who you are and you're authentic, you will attract a person that will honor you as well. And also, not every man is looking for the same thing. All right, just like each woman is not looking for the same cutout, you know, carbon copy of a guy, what happens is when you are really stepping into your own personal power and you are honoring your true nature, you will attract men that will honor that within you, and it becomes very, very easily. But the trick is you have to believe it for yourself, right? You have to own it and not be embarrassed by it, okay? Not because there are many, and not, well, this is what I learned, there are many advantages for being an introverted woman when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to dating, and when it comes to seduction. You know, not everyone is looking for something that's on reality TV. So the biggest thing is, yeah, I always tell them reality TV is actually not reality. You know, that is not reality. It's for TV ratings. And so when you know, what makes you personally tick, what makes you talk, then you're not going to be ashamed of sharing that with another person.
Yeah,
and then also,
I totally agree.
Yeah. You will not be ashamed to share that with another person. And then it will make you, I would tell people, it creates an environment where then the other person can be authentically themselves with you. And that is a large part of what seduction is. Because I always tell ladies, because seduction many times gets a bad rap, you know, for what it's considered. Think of seduction this way. Seduction is having the ability to entice someone to do something that they want to do anyway, that they secretly want to do anyway. And what happens is you create this safe environment free of judgment, guilt, or shame that allows the person to come out and play with you, that allows the person
I love that.
Yeah, and see, and that's what seduction really is. It's about its charisma. It's gravitas. It's about being mesmerizing, you know. And that's what seduction truly is. And so, you know, ladies, it's all about, you know, kind of putting on that paradigm shift. Just like being an introvert, you know, we're always putting a paradigm shift to other people about, you know, who introverts are and, you know, what our true nature is. The same thing with seduction. You know, it's not anything sinister. It's not anything malicious, and it's also not manipulation, because manipulation is convincing someone to do something that they don't want to do. That's what manipulation is. And seduction is the exact opposite. And so, you know, with that, when you kind of step into that yummy essence and you kind of let go of the labels, let go of any guilt or shame that may be associated with it, you actually free yourself to be who you are.
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I love that you say without judgment. That is huge. That's something I've realized over the past couple of years, is it's amazing what can happen and how deep the connections can be with another person when you consciously let go of judgment and you just accept them. It frees other people and it frees you, instead of wasting all your energy just kind of freezing and stiffening and thinking, oh, this person is too much of this and not enough of that. You're more relaxed, and in turn, they're more relaxed. And it's really magical what can happen.
Yeah, it's amazing, because one of the things I always share with people is have the attitude of, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know, whatever. You know, it may be a little bit of a flippant attitude, but like, for example, if you are approaching someone, or you're trying to establish eye contact with someone, you know, what is the worst that can happen, but then what is the best thing that can happen? You know, and it's all about not having judgment or fear, because I always tell people fear is false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
We create this whole conundrum of fear, and it's usually in our mind that we're creating it, and then when we actually experience it, we're like, you know what, that wasn't so bad. you know, and then we go to ourselves, and then what was I having this, you know, fit about or worry about? And it's about being yourself. So when I started speaking in front of people, I said to myself, you know, I'm here. I'm standing in front of these people. I might as well just have a good time. And that's the attitude I started to take versus worrying about what are they going to say? What are they going to think? What are they, you know, is this going to affect anyone? Will anyone see it as valuable? Instead of asking myself all of those questions that would take me in a downward spiral, it was, you know what, just have a good time and just be yourself. And that is what I started doing. And when I started teaching intimacy and seduction and erotic skills, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is like the most sensitive topic I can possibly be talking about. And I had all these little judgments that I was going through initially. And I said to myself, you know, if not me, who else? You know, I was called to do this. I have a passion for it. So I just need to step into living my purpose. And it's been a wonderful journey ever since.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's really all about having that perspective shift. You know, you could be in the exact same environment, talking with the same people, but when you start to see things differently, you see things from even like, okay, I'm actually helping people, or I'm actually a gift to this man. Like me spending time with him, I mean, my presence is something that's valuable. That's a totally different perspective. You're with the same man, but it's a different perspective. So, yeah, I love that you say that. It's all just about changing your attitude.
Yeah, like Marianne Williams, in her famous quote, and I'm just going to talk about one little snippet. She's like, the world doesn't benefit by you being small. You know, and so a lot of that doesn't, it's not about having a bullhorn per se, but it's all about being fully present in everything that you're doing, especially when it comes to interacting with other people and being fully there.
Definitely. And so we've kind of touched on this a little bit, but you know, what advantages might an introverted woman have when it comes to dating and seduction?
One would be the great ability to read people. That is a very tremendous advantage because I have found introverts are very introspective, okay? Very introspective. Yep. And so because of that, there is a keen ability to read other people. Now, when we could, as one of my teachers used to say, get your bloated nothingness out of the way, when you can get your own fears out of the way, then you have a clear ability to read other people. And so this is very tremendous when it comes to dating and seduction. The other thing that introverted women also have the advantage is the ability to master the male mind, to kind of really understand, you know, the ability of how a man thinks. Because when you're able to understand the male mind, that gives you the opportunity to really capture his heart. Right? And it also is reflective of, with introverts, we're also very reflective people, okay? So what that does is you're able to kind of reflect and put yourself in the other shoes of the other person of what they're thinking and feeling, right? And so that's the other thing. And also with seduction, of course, let's go with our new paradigm shift of what, you know, I share what seduction is enticing someone to do something that they want to do anyway. You know, seduction and having the ability or the qualities of what I call a high-value woman is about subtlety and not brazenness or shock and awe. Right. So like I said before, you know, shock and awe is for ratings on reality TV. But in real life, many men dislike this behavior. They totally dislike it because they're, you know, they want someone that is classy. They want someone that is confident. They want someone that is sure within herself. And that's what's more important. And that's a high value woman. And so that's one of the things. And some people may say, well, what exactly is a high value woman? It's many of the things I just shared, but think of it this way. When you value something, you take care of it, you nurture it, you want it to grow, you want it to flourish, and there's more time, love, and attention that's paid towards it. When you maintain something, right, it's like a job, okay? You have to maintain your car, okay, so that it can run. But do you enjoy being over at the mechanic? No, you don't enjoy being over at the mechanic. And so what happens is men are looking for high-value women, not high-maintenance women. And high-maintenance women is what you see on TV, that are the ones that are the brazenness and all the attention has to be flowered on them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And so that's just one of the things I always like to clarify. You know, for my ladies, for my goddesses, as I call them, so they can, so, okay, they can have a different perspective of what they may seem modeled on television and just create it for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Very important distinction. Yep, high maintenance versus high value. And I actually, I have my own story, which I've shared a little bit before, but a few years ago, I actually decided that I was going to accept a date with anyone. And at the same time, I was consciously investing in myself and, you know, trying to do things that were fun, that I enjoyed, and to just really increase my value, increase my confidence. And so a funny thing happened. I did go on a lot of dates, and I continue to go on a lot of dates. But a funny thing happened, and that is, at first, as many would expect, since I was accepting a date with anyone, you know, it was kind of a mix of guys. You know, some of them were not my ideal type, and some of them were, you know, like the players or what have you. But then as time went on, better and better guys started to ask me out. And the guys who were players and the guys who were kind of wishy-washy stopped asking me out. And it's funny because you would imagine, okay, well, if I'm accepting a date with anyone, I'm going to end up having to go on all these horrible dates. But it didn't happen that way. And it really made me realize that when you change your vibe and when you become a high-value woman, you don't pretend to be a high-value woman. You don't pretend to have things to do that you're passionate about. You actually have things you're passionate about, you actually do invest in yourself, then you automatically start to attract high-value men.
Yes, and then the other thing, which with your the story that you just shared, so thank you so much for sharing that, is sometimes I tell women, look at those as test drives. Look at them as test runs. You know, when I'm working with my private clients, and whether it is in their, you know, confidence training in the art of seduction or attracting a relationship in their life, you know, I always say to them, look at opportunities, look at dates as you're doing test runs. You're getting the kinks out. You know, you're doing all that because, you know, I can teach you about, you know, body language and flirting, how to maintain the eye contact. But if you don't go out there and use it, it's just a theory. It's just a theory.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's one of those things where don't see it as a lost cause. You know, have fun with it. You know, have fun with it. And it also helps you to clarify what it is that you want. You know, what it is that
Definitely.
You want in a man, what it is that you want in a relationship. And you then feel more in control of your own dating destiny, as I call it, versus, you know, you're creating by design versus default in that sense.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. I think this is where a lot of introverted women tend to get stuck. I know I did, is that I would totally focus all my energy on one man. Like, introverts are known for having intense focus. We're really good at that. And we like to fantasize. And so, you know, I would always have that one guy who I put on a pedestal and I would watch from afar and, you know, just want him to like me. And I would be totally blind to all the other men. And then, you know, once I started dating and just seeing it, like you said, as practice run, as an experiment, then everything changed. And I did get better at dating. And, you know, the way I think of it is you don't want to start off with that your perfect guy because when you're not ready, right? Like when you haven't had any practice.
Right. You need to get the kinks out. You know, you need to.
Yeah.
You need to get the kinks out. And I always tell my goddesses, always date two people at a time. Because here's one thing. There now, I know for an introverted woman that may seem a little bit exhausting. They may go, "Oh my Lord, you know, it's an issue just to have one dating two." But here's the whole thing. You know, with being an introvert, many of them are very independent women. Very independent women. And men really appreciate that. They really, really appreciate mm-hmm. that. And most men, you know, it's all about you, because you just said, you know, you see that perfect guy and then you're so laser focused, you know, on that one person. Men can feel that intensity, and then some mm-hmm. of them go running for the hills. They're like, oh yep. my goodness, this is just way too much. But part of it is you can still maintain that intensity without pushing away. When you can also view the dating scene, intimacy and seduction, more like fun adult play versus mm-hmm. like, oh my goodness, I need to grab and hold on to something for dear life. When you look at it more like play, you're allowing yourself to be more fluid. You're allowing yourself to have more fun. And when you do that, it literally will raise your energy vibration and more prospects will come your way, probably more than you even know what to deal with, you know. But then you can choose.
Yeah.
You can choose. When a man knows that he is not the only fish in the sea, what ends up happening is men like their primal nature for competitiveness comes out, and that nature to even be a little bit protective kind of comes out. And so they won't take you for granted. And men value what they have to work for. So mm-hmm. if you're like giving to him, okay, full commitment, all this other stuff so early on, it's like, okay, that's nice. There's nothing he's had to work for. He hasn't even proven his worth to you yet to even do that. And so that's one of the things I teach, especially when it comes to seduction. When men have to work a little bit to date you, and even them even seducing you, it really creates a very rich dynamic between you and the other person. And mm-hmm. he will chase you. It's the thrill of the chase. And he will chase
yeah.
you. And that's part of, with introverted women, you know, we have to embrace that. We're like, you know, that is fun. You know, like I said, it's not manipulation. It's really taking into account just our natural instincts with each other. You know, the mating game, as they call it.
Yes, and that is a great point because, again, a lot of introverted women were focused, and we also tend to be loyal and committed. And so I think we tend to commit too early, too soon, before we've even been asked for a commitment.
Or before you even know that he's even worth giving your commitment to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, that's the other thing. There's nothing wrong, and it's actually very good for a man to prove his worth to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
For him to prove his worth. And honestly, many high-value men, men with integrity, they will enjoy that because they know that you are selective, that you don't throw yourself at every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along. So they will treat you like that precious gem that you're supposed to be treated like, that high-value woman, versus like, okay, anybody can get this. And, you know, it's a little bit, sometimes it may seem counterintuitive, but when it comes to emotions sometimes and the way that we are wired as men and women, sometimes it's not very logical. You know, it's just that is how we react to doing things. You know, so mm-hmm. one of it is also about, you know, he needs to prove his worth to you as well. It's not all about you having to prove who you are. He also needs to show you his value as well.
Definitely. And real men like to pursue women and they like to give to women. That's something, that's a major thing that I learned after dating so much.
Yep.
Just little boys, they don't necessarily want to put in any effort or do things for you, but the good men do.
Yes, they do. And depending on you know, which generation he was in or the type of ethics that he grew up with, there are men that are out there, even if you pull out your wallet to pay for something, because in our society sometimes the whole thing about Dutch or being egalitarian and all this other stuff, he'll go, no. He will say, no, I'm taking care of that, you know. And those are one of the things where, as an introvert, you have the ability, ladies, to really pick up on these subtle nuances. And really pay close attention to that. Because one of the things with introverted women when dealing in relationships, because she isn't necessarily wanting to shine in the spotlight and have that me kind of thing going on, you're able to see all of the minor details, and then you're able to reflect those details back to your partner that draws him in even closer to you. Because you're also thinking about the other person in addition to thinking about yourself, because it's not all about you. And that is a wonderful quality that a lot of introverted women have that is to their benefit, all right, and being able to, you know, maximize that ability that you have within yourself, you know. So I get many comments from what I teach and even in my personal life. You know, I'll hear men go, wow, you don't think like many women or the typical woman, which is about the, what I call female sabotaging behavior and one, not giving a guy his space. Well, introverted women know all about that because they need their space too, you know. So
yeah.
they love that quality, you know, because men, they need that to recharge, just like introverted women need that to recharge. So they feel that's a huge gift. And then the other thing is being able to see the other perspective of your partner or the person that you're looking to attract, and them seeing that as, wow, she's actually paying attention, you know. Those are all wonderful, wonderful qualities bringing into it, you know. So it's about coming, I would sometimes say, when I say coming out of your shell, I ask, are you fully embracing who you are?
Yeah.
If you're not fully embracing who you are, you're still in your shell. And what happens is you have to crack that shell, allow, you know, break it open so you can fully step into who you are as a beautiful woman, as a charismatic woman, as a woman that is intelligent, as a woman that has high self-confidence, and that will be a major magnet of attraction in your life to bring Mr. Right towards you.
Definitely. And I like to think of it this way. I mean, do you want to be just like every other woman? Because if you're pretending, then you will be. You'll just be like every other girl they dated. When really what you want is to be different. You want to stand out. And I have to say that I hear a lot from men like, you're really different than any other woman that I've dated. And I, you know, I know that's because I've learned to accept who I am, to be authentic, and to really embrace my emotions as well, rather than trying to hide them. And so I know that if the introverted women out there actually just start to own who they are, then, you know, they'll be fighting the men off.
Yeah, and when you hear, because you just said something, when you hear a man say, man, you're not, you're really unique, or you're not like other women, that is actually a compliment. Some women,
yes,
at first, they think they're being insulted, but actually, ladies, I'm telling you right now, that is actually a compliment. What that phrase is telling you is, one, you are not clingy. You men then think also, you get me, okay? And the other thing is, you're independent. And it's one of those things where when a man says that, he's actually giving you a compliment. And so it's like,
yes,
and one of the things you say is, thank you, you know? When they say that, and if you're even not sure by what he means, is having the confidence to say, well, can you share with me exactly what you're talking about? You know, I would like to understand better. And doing it in a way that's more inquisitive, that you want to learn, versus feeling as if your feelings have just gotten hurt. You know, and he can even share that even more with you. And he can tell you specifically either the way you perceive something, the level of engagement you have. Because one of the things having a man earn your affections is not about being aloof, but it's about remaining engaged, but it's about not being clingy and about not being desperate. Men can sniff that out extremely quickly, and they go running for the hills. But
yeah.
when, and that's why I said the big advantage about introverted women having the ability to master the male mind, it literally, it pulls him in like some, you know, magical potion that comes into you, and he will want to know and learn more. The outer package of a woman is very important. I won't pretend that it's not, but it definitely is not the only thing. When I say the outer package, I'm not, again, it's creating what is your own sense of style, what is your own identity that makes you feel good. You know, whatever it is you were wearing or have received, whatever makes you feel feminine, good, and sassy. And so in being able to own that. And so the outer package is important, but if you don't have the intellect, if you don't have the emotional balance, and if you don't have a level of introspection, the outer packaging will will fizzle very quickly, and it won't be because it won't be sustainable. You can't sustain a relationship that way, right? And
yes,
you have to have
definitely.
The entire thing, the complete package, is what I call it.
Yeah, I agree, and it's so true. Men are very visual, and yeah, your appearance matters. But then I'm sure a lot of women listening have seen the classic example of a really attractive, successful man with a girl who is, you know, very average looking, maybe a bit overweight, and you're kind of like, well, what's that about, you know? And really it's because when you talk to the woman, then you understand she's probably very feminine, she's really in touch with her emotions, and so it's, yes, the visual aspect is really important, but what's more important is all this other stuff that makes you a high-value woman. And another thing I want to emphasize is a lot of introverted women feel inadequate because they're quiet. And, you know, for the past century, it's kind of been stuffed down our throats that the ideal woman is, or just the normal woman, is really outgoing and chatty. Like, she just loves to fill airspace with constant chatter. And so for me, for a long time, I felt like there was something wrong with me and like a man could never truly love me because often I would be quiet. What I realized is that it's not about how much you say, it's about what you say and how you say it that will draw a man in. So you could say very little, but when you own it and when you're confident, then you can definitely draw a man in.
The other thing that's also important with her is body language.
Mm-hmm.
Body language. And that's one of the things that's very, because you, when you are, say, in a crowded room or when you're even having a one-on-one conversation with someone, sometimes your body language will speak volumes more than what's even coming out of your mouth.
Definitely.
And, you know, with me, I had to learn to speak very loudly with my eyes, okay? Not with what I was saying, but very loudly with my eyes. And I was able to perfect my eye technique where I can be talking to someone with my eyes and that would just draw them into me. It would have like this, it would literally be having this conversation like, come closer to me, I want to talk with you, and they would just come in without me even opening my mouth, without me even saying anything. How you're sitting, you're standing, you're walking with confidence, that speaks volumes for who you are, okay? Because, yes, people can say, okay, what they say is a person that just wants to talk, they like to fill dead air, okay? Or they like to hear themselves speak, you know, is what some people would say. And so
yeah.
Body language, if introverted woman perfects that and is comfortable with who she is, that is another powerful language of conversation to have, right? So
yes,
working
definitely.
It all together, working it all together.
Mm-hmm. So true. Now, another thing that introverted women struggle with is energy. So how can an introverted woman preserve her energy and honor her need for time alone without turning men off or hurting their egos?
The first thing I would say is being very upfront and honest with them that you need your alone time. All right. So, you know, I don't express it to a guy as alone time per se, but, you know, when I'm coming into a situation, if in the past and, you know, even with the person that I'm dating now, when we first started dating, I said to him that, you know, I do have a busy schedule, and sometimes I need me time to recharge my battery and stuff. And he was like, well, you know, what does that look like? And I said, you know, sometimes it could just be me being by myself and reading a book. Or it could be me vegging out and watching a little bit of TV. But, you know, it's just me kind of recharging my battery, you know, for whatever's going on. And he was like, okay. You know, it was literally that easy. I mean, that easy. But it was one of those things, having a conversation just very upfront and saying, you know, this is what I need to reboot myself, you know, or even like for me, when it comes to communicating with people, talking constantly on the phone is very exhausting for me, very exhausting mm-hmm. for me. And even Facebook can be very exhausting for me. It's just kind of like overload. So when it comes to my communication, I say, you know, texting is great for me. And I said, I'm okay having a conversation maybe once or twice a week. And I'm fine. Mm. And I'm content with that. And that also is a huge surprise to men, because men are used to women saying, I need to talk to you every single day. I need, you know, yeah. They need that assurance every single day. And then when you say, you know, I'm actually fine texting every day, and if we talk twice a week, maybe three times a week, that's fine. They kind of look at you and go, okay. You know, it shocks them because they're not used to that kind of behavior. But I always tell ladies, you teach people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember that. You teach people how to treat you. So when you say up front, if you know this is what I need to preserve my energy, to recharge myself, and you don't make it personal, meaning, you know, here's an example of that. Just like I said about conversation and talking, because sometimes it can be very draining for me. If I said to a guy, you know, just talking to you every day is just a little bit much, that would hurt their feelings, okay, because you made it
yes.
very personal. But if you say to the person, you know, sometimes on the phone it can be a little bit exhausting to me, and this is like with anybody, so I'm okay if we, you know, chatted two or three times a week. Is that okay with you? And you ask them, is that okay with you? And they'll either say, sure, that's fine, or they may say, you know, I'd like to talk maybe a little bit more than that. And then you ask them, well, what is good for you? And then they tell you, and then you come with a happy medium. And then you mm-hmm. go from there. So all of this is part of being open and knowing what you want in what makes you thrive in a relationship. That way you don't have to pretend to be somebody that you're not, and they can respect your space and your boundaries. Because at the end of the day, it's boundaries is what it is. And
exactly.
To do that, and men appreciate that. They don't like a guessing game. Contrary to what people may think, men don't like the guessing game. And I did a whole training about the man code and stuff. Men don't like a guessing game. They like for you to tell it like it is. But I said the seductive woman says it with sugar and spice, you know, and everything nice as she tells it like it is. And they really appreciate that. And they will tell you like it is as well, very respectfully, and you start to establish a relationship of equals.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important, as you say, to set those boundaries ahead of time rather than waiting until you're exhausted and you just really need to be alone in that moment and you kind of get snappy.
Yes.
Well, that doesn't need to happen. If you say it ahead of time, then it will all just go much more smoothly.
Right. You know, and even if you get to a point where you're starting to get past a boundary, you can even communicate and you can say, okay, I'm hitting my limit right now, and not complain about it, but you can just share, you know, hey, I'm reaching this particular limit right now, and would it be okay if I catch up with you later on? Or, you know, I need to lay down for a moment and need to have some quiet time and et cetera, et cetera, versus torturing yourself, you know, through something. And like you said, then you become very snappy and irritable and things of that nature. It's more appreciated that way, and less angst and anxiety will occur both for you and for him at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, Stacey, this has been really enlightening, I'm sure, for a lot of the women listening. I know it has been for me. It's been a pleasure. But it really is just the tip of the iceberg. I know that there's so much more that you have to offer on this topic. So for the ladies who are truly ready to find their Mr. Right, listen carefully, because Stacey is going to share exactly how you can hook him and keep him this year. Stacey, can you please tell us about the juicy program you've created for single ladies looking for love in 2015?
Sure. I'm really excited to jumpstart the new year with a very exciting group coaching program that is coming in February called Hook 'em and Keep 'em, and it's 8 steps to finding Mr. Right and attracting juicy love. And what it is, it's all about the secret sauce to this particular training is teaching ladies the ability to combine the law of attraction principles with the art of seduction to attract and maintain juicy love that is deep, that is emotional, but that's hot all at the same time, because this guarantees that the flame of desire doesn't fizzle before the honeymoon is there. And with this exploration, it's going to be like an 8-week program, and we're really going to be looking into healing the wounds of the past. You know, because that's something that's very, very important. When you heal the wounds of the past, and if you don't bring that baggage into a new relationship, you're actually able to be very present in what you want to attract in your life. It's also about understanding the concept of the law of attraction and to work it to your advantage. We talked about also understanding the male mind, because when you capture a man's mind, you mesmerize his heart. And ladies, you know, in part of Hook 'em and Keep 'em, it's about embracing your womanly graces that make you uniquely who you are. And this is a key element in wooing a partner. It's pure physical attraction and the natural cat and mouse game that's a part of our DNA to do that. And with that as well, because you had talked about dating different people, you know, also about getting clear, getting very clear. Because one of the things that did for you, Michaela, was it allowed you to get very clear on what it is that you want in a partner. So in this program, we're going to be working on getting extremely clear about our intentions and what we want in a partner or relationship. Also how we want to be in that relationship and how this will complement our life versus completing your life. Because that's the biggest thing. A relationship should complement you. It should not complete you. And the hot part about doing all this is you're going to learn to be the CEO, the chief erotic officer in the bedroom, and make peace with your sensual and sexual aspects of yourself. So it's all about letting go of any inhibitions that you may have. It's all about allowing that sassy, sexy part of you to come out with quiet confidence. And that's one of the things I really emphasize, is that quiet confidence, because it adds a level of mystery that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go through the proven law of attraction training, developing your irresistible plan, the Hook 'em and Keep 'em relationship blueprint, and also the Good Girl's Guide to a Rockin' Sex Life, and also how to be an online dating diva. Okay, so, you know, here are some mistakes to avoid in online dating, and here's other things to do, and we're just going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be jam-packed with tons of content that's there. And so, you know, even before that, I do have something that I would like to offer to your listeners for free.
Yes, do tell us about your free training.
Well, what do you want? Just to get a little bit taste of what this whole thing is about, offering everyone, I'm doing a free preview teleseminar which is Learn 4 Juicy Secrets to Hook Mr. Right and Stop Dead-End Love. And you can easily, it's totally free, and the training's for about an hour, and you'll be able to have a Q&A at the end to ask any questions that you have of me and get you on the right path in 2015 to attract juicy love. And you can easily register for the free teleseminar when you go to the website underneath the recording, and you can register, and you'll be all set, and you'll get all the dial-in information and join the tribe of other women that really want to make 2015 the year they attract Mr. Right and the year that they really enjoy and embrace juicy love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure that that free training is going to be jam-packed with juicy information and secrets on attracting your Mr. Right. So ladies, I do encourage you to follow the link below and sign up for that. I'm assuming Stacey will be sending out lots of reminders so that they won't miss it.
That is correct.
Once they sign up. So, yeah, do that. And thank you again, Stacey, for joining us. It's been wonderful having you.
Thank you for having me, Michaela. It's a definite honor to be on the show and to really show to other introverted women that you can step into your sensual and sexy greatness and you can attract all of the love to you that your heart is willing to receive in. You just have to believe.
Absolutely. So why not make 2015 the year of love, ladies?
That's
all about believing it's possible. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And we'll provide the steps and the plan to get you there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, I am here for you if you're looking for other ways that you can transform and reach your goals in 2015. You can hop on over to my Work With Me page if you're looking for a little bit of guidance on how to embrace your introversion and really reach your full potential in 2015. And again, if you're looking to make 2015 the year of love and attract your ideal man, you can follow the link to Stacey's free training. So thanks everyone for listening and have a great week.